Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Meet Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a 4-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
Great Saturday morning to you. This is a Mr. Mechanic Show. 402-558-1110 is the numbers to get in. Get in early so we can answer your questions, because at the end of the show, it always seems to fill up. Everybody's grabbing a second cup of coffee and want to get going. Well, we want to answer your questions first. So this is an interactive call-in show where you're in charge of the questions, we're in charge of the answers, and we're a live show. Do it every week, and so we're just... Bob and Kyle here are just doing it right off the riffing off the top of our head.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is all freestyle here.
This is all
none of this is planned.
No, this is all freestyle and 40, 60, 80 years worth of experience, huh, Kyle? Just in us two.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the rest of the group that we have sitting in the mechanics just waiting to repair your car.
We're here to talk.
Yep. We are Buchanan Service Centers. 80th and Dodge, 50th and Dodge, and Guaranteed Brakes, 49th Avenue and Dodge. So stop in, see us, talk to us a little bit about your car. If you're trying to repair your own car, just need an idea where you're going, we're happy to help you a little bit there too. So, one article here, Kyle, before we jump into the calls. I was kind of looking around on the internet, as I do, to kind of look for articles and fun stuff to look at. And I ran across a Best Minivans. And then I'm looking at this, and maybe most of you know that what you read, you can only believe maybe half of what you read and none of what you see?
Or depending on what you're reading about.
So I'm looking at the best minivans out there, and it's really subject sometimes, a lot of times, most of the times, is to what they are writing about. And they're trying to find articles to be intriguing, get clicks, things of that nature. And the top minivans were, for this one, was a Chrysler Pacifica. Number two was a Honda Odyssey. And three was a Toyota Sienna. What do you think about that, Kyle?
I agree with two and three.
I agree with
one,
two.
I don't know where I'm at on that one.
Yeah, and it was the Pacific Hybrid. And I think everybody's trying to head towards a hybrid and everything else. So, and we base our opinions on what we see every day. We're not really, and both of us, as we've said many times, we're kind of Chevrolet guys, but you're also a Ford guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have several different interests in cars that I have. And so we just base our opinions on what we see every day. We're not making things up. We don't have an agenda. We don't much care. We're just telling you what we know.
You know, and the minivan isn't really
a thing
like it used to be anymore. Like, they're more like you get in some of these, it's like a camper. You could live in this. There's TV. There's a table. There's all kinds of amenities.
There's a vacuum.
Yeah.
You got vacuums in the back. Got all sorts of stuff.
Some of them got air pumps to pump up the tire. I mean, you could live in this thing and drive around all day doing nothing.
So, yeah, maybe you should put your money towards a really great minivan and sell the house and find a nice parking lot.
You know, that may come a time.
There
may come a time.
You know, let's head over into the calls. We got a full bank of calls. Jason was first. Jason was in early. Jason, what's going on with the 07 Toyota?
The passenger rear door has stopped opening automatically. And I've tried diagnosing it myself a little bit. I don't think there's power going to the motor for the door. And I don't think it's the cable, because it just makes no noise when I push the button.
Okay. So you're talking about a Sienna. We're talking about a Sienna. So
yes.
Can you manually open the door? Or will it? Is it just totally an op?
Nope, I can open it manually just fine.
Okay, so our electric actuator is our problem. So let's start by how I'm going to diagnose this thing. I'm going to pop my door open. I'm going to get the panel off of there. And then over by the latch, you're going to see your electric motor kind of hanging. It's probably part of the latch. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a connector going to that. How many pins? I don't know. I mean, theoretically, to open this door, you're talking two wires. They're going to be power and ground. It's going to be easy. But there may be more wires than that in this connector. There could be a door ajar switch, a proximity switch. A lot of these vans have a safety switch where if you bump the door, it'll reopen.
Yeah, several switches.
So all that could be in one connector. But, I mean, you can search the internet. You'll find a wiring diagram as to which are your motor connectors. And basically what I do, I mean, it's really easy. I mean, you could sit there with a test light and, you know, kind of try and remember where you're at when you pull the handle. But I take a light bulb and I put in there and then I hit the button. Does that light bulb light up? You know you got power and ground there.
Yeah.
So your only other option is that motor. So you're down to basically a motor or a broken wire in that loom, because that loom does kind of flex with the door every time it opens and closes. That loom does move. There's a possibility for a broken wire.
Yeah, and Kyle's talking about putting the light bulb in when you pull the connector off the motor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you press down or you press shut, you should see a light, and then when you press open, you should see a light. And if you're not seeing a light on the open side, then you probably got a broken wire.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be fairly straightforward once you get in there. Like I say, you're just going to find that motor, and you're going to see the wires going to it. And like I say, you might have two wires, and it'll be very easy, or you might have seven wires.
And if you've got a Sienna, part of the tough part here is going to get the door panel off while it's still in place. And then you might have to remove some of the seats there so that you got a little bit of access. You're not crawling over everything trying to get to it. So they're not fun when they're stuck and won't open.
Yeah, when they're jammed and they won't open, yeah, sometimes we have to get pretty abusive with them.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, the fit and trim and everything on a door is kind of there for when you open the door, but when you shut it, a lot of things seal around it, so it's much tougher to get it apart. It comes apart. I will say that sometimes it breaks too, but
yeah,
at some point we've got to have an ends to the means and get it fixed. Mm-hmm. So
shouldn't be too tough of a repair for you though, Jason. I mean, give it a whirl. If anything, you know where we're at.
Yeah, you know where we're at. If it gets over your head or said, I'm not going that deep, you know, we can handle it for you.
So if it is a broken wire, is it just a matter of replacing that wire, like splicing it in, or what would you do?
Yeah. Yeah, you just find your bad connection. You know, clearly, I mean, on any door, you're going to see a wire broken in half. They don't get just kind of wear out.
And if it's broken, it's on a pinch point if it's broken. It's on an area that goes back and forth, and there's a bind there, and that's why it does what it does.
Yeah, and generally you'll get in there, you can strip your wires back, make a solder, make it a little bit longer than what it was factory if you have room to do that without pinching it further.
Mm-hmm.
But give it some more room to flex at some different points.
Yep.
Yeah, easy to repair.
Okay.
Thanks, Jason.
Sounds good. I'll give that a shot. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate the call.
Bye.
All right, we'll head over to Scott. Scott's got a 02 Buick LeSabre. Scott, what's going on today?
Hey, well, I tell you, I've got a wobble in the front passenger side, and I'll tell you what I've done. I've put two different new tires, balanced and mounted on it, still wobbles. Replaced the CV axle, still wobbles. I had a kind of a sketchy transmission mount, replaced the transmission mount, still wobbles. The engine mounts are all good. What could this, and it wobbles when I hit about 42 to 53 miles an hour. It just shakes, and otherwise it doesn't wobble when I'm coasting, when I'm applying the brakes, only at acceleration at that area of speed. I'm completely baffled. I have no idea. I'm thinking, could it be a hub? Could I replace the hub?
You put both axles in, put one axle in.
Just the passenger, yeah. No, I just did the one.
The passenger side's your longer axle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
generally, it's always the short axle that'll cause a vibration.
Because it's more of a bind. So so what you told me there was you have a vibration on acceleration only. So you're accentuating what's spinning. When you let off the gas, the wobble goes away, so everything's in rest. So that eliminates a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me I think you're on the right track. I think you got an axle. That's what it sounds. But providing everything else is tight, providing your ball joints are tight, your tie rod ends and things like that are tight. Because if you set up a gyration at 40 mile an hour, you can't stop it. And then that's when, once you let off, everything relaxes and kind of goes away. I think you were in the right spot. I think you maybe had one axle bad, or you just replaced the wrong axle. That's all.
Yeah, it's generally always the short axle that'll cause a vibration just because it's got so much more to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I've got it up in the air, you can jack up the whole front end and turn it on and run the engine and spin the tires. You can see the wobble in the passenger side, and the driver's side is perfectly fine. No wobble whatsoever.
But there's no load on it.
No load on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that may be somewhat normal, but.
All right. So you think maybe it could be the driver's side.
Well, and here's another
question. Unless your rim was bent in some kind of way, how did it balance?
Nope. I've got a brand new rim. I bought a brand new rim. I have studded snow tires on new rims in the winter, and I changed those, put my new tire on my new rim.
So we can rule that out.
Yeah.
And here's something we've had in the past, too. We've had bad new parts. Mm-hmm. So when you put this axle in and the outer joint, and I don't know if you even tried this or not, but when you grabbed
it. I didn't do it. I had a mechanic shop put it in for me.
When we put an axle in, a lot of times we'll grab the outer joint and we'll see if it moves freely or if it's stiff and can hardly move. Stiffen can hardly move, you would think, is great because it's new and tight. But
not going to flex.
It's not going to flex. It's not going to rotate like it should in that chamber of balls that are in there. So, that you could have solved the problem. It's just that you got an axle that wasn't very good. So,
wow.
Oh yeah, it's kind of fun to chase those, especially there.
Yeah.
So, like I said. But I think you're down to axles. I know you're down to axles because everything, ball joints, tie rod ends, everything else is tight. The only thing you have is something that's rotating because as you accelerate, that's when your vibration is there. And you've done your motor mounts, so your engine's sitting where it should be, so your axles are not on a bind. That's where you're at. That's where you're at.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet, Scott. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Steve, what's going on today?
Yes, I want to change the transmission fluid and the transfer case fluid. And the shop put in synthetic fluids. Is that going to be okay instead of the Mopar number 4 ATF?
Yes.
Yep.
So ATF plus 4 was the accepted fluid for that for the longest time. But as time goes on, fluids just get updated.
Yeah, they get better.
They get better, they get updated, and everything kind of is heading over to synthetic. And
synthetic multi-use. I mean, we get these jugs of, fluids and stuff, and they've got an application list that's 2 pages long.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making it to cover everything, and that's just what synthetics are doing these days.
Yeah. Actually, I went out to try to find ATF-4 the other day, about a week ago or a month ago, and had a hard time trying to find it. So my research led me back to the people that supply it. And they say, well, we just don't carry that much anymore because everything's going to the updated synthetic, and it just overtook that other stuff. So, you'll be fine.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, it's and that's same with General Motors. General Motors used to have Dextron 3.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original stuff that you've seen in a bottle forever.
Dex 6. They put out that TSB. If you have a car with Dex 3 in it, you got to drain it and put Dex 6.
Just yep.
Another step up the synthetic chain.
Yep, and General Motors had problems with their 8-speed transmissions, so they them and Mobile One kind of got together and changed it 5 more times, and I think they finally got it to the point where this latest fluid is pretty good and doesn't cause shuttering problems in the 8-speeds. So,
how do you think that research goes along? Do you think it's kind of like back to the home economics class, like, oh, these cookies aren't right, let's put some more flour in.
It has to be.
Put a little more water.
It has to be. I don't know.
Let's add more of this.
Take a little more grit away, add a little more grit here. I don't know. I don't know.
Put it in this car and run it on the dyno, and, oh, well, that caught fire. Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. And you look at them, there is no discernible difference between any of it. There just isn't.
Pretty much all feels the same on your hands. And
it does.
You get it in your shirt and it stinks all day.
Yeah, and they color it, the different colors here and there, because it all comes, you can refine the color out of that stuff.
Well, it's like coolant. I mean, you look at Dodge over the years. I mean, we went from green to yellow to pink. Now we got purple.
Mm-hmm. Blue. I see kind of red.
Honda's got blue.
Yeah, and then Toyota's got kind of a red or maroon color or something along that line, more maroon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use the yellow universal fluid, yellow is a common color that mixes with all of it, so it doesn't look terrible. And it's good for and that's one thing. Antifreeze has gotten so much better over the years. And now that they figured out electrolysis, and which is the electricity running through the coolant that eats the hoses from the inside out, and figured out how to solve that problem, there's just no more coolant hoses that go bad anymore, other than just age.
Unless your cooler breaks down and you get oil in there. You're not doing hoses.
The rare case that the hoses go bad. So let's head over to Drew. Drew's been waiting for a minute. Got a Pontiac Grand Prix. Drew, what's up today?
Oh, not much. I have a, might as well start calling this a transmission show. I'm starting to have an issue with my Grand Prix at a... Well, I had just gotten this Grand Prix a few months back. I'm a contractor delivery person. I have two vehicles. I have my backup car. I had just got, it has an issue with transmission slipping in second and third gear. It only happens after I've been driving it for a while. Mm-hmm. I shut it off and I'll shut it off even for just a minute. And then it'll come back and it'll shift fine for another half an hour. And from what I understand, I'm leaning towards it's probably the transmission fluid filter. I'm just afraid to change it because I've been told that from a few mechanics that
you could change it and push it back out.
So the few mechanics tell you that you're going to change it, and next thing you know, it's just going to drive in and you have to push it out. Is that it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm afraid that if I do mess with it, I'll make it worse, And I've heard from two mechanics, and you two guys have the final vote on it. If you tell me to go ahead and do it, I'm going to do it. I'm afraid that, yeah. If I drop the pan, change the filter, put new fluid in, what do you think? Do you think it's worth the risk?
I guess you got to pull the pan either way. You got to make a positive step forward in some sort of repair and drop the pan, look at the filter, kind of inspect that. I mean, I agree completely, and I think Kyle does too. You put brand new slimy, slippery fluid in there, the chances of you having a problem on the other side are pretty great.
The one thing
you can do is get yourself a nice clean bucket, super clean, maybe even a brand new one. When you drop all that fluid in there, and it's that old, gritty fluid, and you find a problem in there that you don't want to fix, and say, I'm just going to ride this for as long as I can. I'm going to put a new filter and gasket in it, pour the old fluid back in.
Okay, that's what I was also wondering about.
You can do that.
It'd be all right to change the filter, clean up the pan, put it back together.
Transmission doesn't know it. The transmission only knows it's breathing a little better, or because you got a new filter in there. It doesn't know that you put new fluid in there, and maybe you have staved off your ultimate transmission problem that you're going to have to replace. You're just not doing it now. And that's based on you look inside there, you see all sorts of stuff in the bottom of the pan.
It'll stick to the bottom of the pan. There's a magnet in there that's going to attract any metal or friction material.
Yeah, and you're pretty clearly, we know where we're heading here. That's why you put the old fluid in. Otherwise, we put new fluid back in. But, you know, there's that rare case. I present the customer with both options. Here's the deal. You know, we might be pushing this out. It might be dying. You know, may not be able to put it in reverse, or you can try that, and here we go. So, and then we make the best appropriate decision and run.
Okay. Well, and it's a much, much older vehicle. It's over 200,000. It just broke 200,000 miles right after I bought it, and I have no idea of the history of it and how it's been maintained. But
sure. So the cost of repairing it's beyond what the cost of the car is.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, when it comes to, it's kind of, essentially, it's my backup livelihood. You know, I got my good car, and then I got that one backing me up. So, I just, I just don't know if it's worth that risk. You know, but if you guys think if I just screen out after I get that new pan, screen the fluid, you know, to get the big parts out of it, clean the pan, get a new filter in there, and do you think it's worth that risk?
Sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. The only thing you're putting in is a new filter, and you can put the old greedy fluid back in, run it for as long as you can while you're looking for a new one, and you're getting an estimate on what the salvage yard will give you for it. And just run it till it dies. There you go. All right, thanks. Appreciate the call, Drew. If you need some more help, give us a call. We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a bit.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Professionally fixed right and fixed on time. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
So we're going to head over to Paul. Paul's got a 13 Ford Fusion. Paul, thanks for waiting. What's going on today?
Question on the having shifting problems, a lot of them. And have done research on the vehicle and found out that there's a class action lawsuit against the 6F35 Ford transmission and Escape and the Fusion. Wanting to know, is it rebuildable?
Yeah, well,
I know that Ford had a lot of transmission problems, and yeah, this is.
Is it rebuildable? Yes. Is it reliable?
That is it.
That you don't have to worry about it beyond that?
No.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, somebody built it, generally you can rebuild it. But
Can you rebuild it and make it better, I think it's your question, so that you don't have the issues again.
Yes, the issue.
Without redesigning the valve body and the clutch packs, no. I mean,
no.
And you know, the biggest offender was the Focus.
The Focus, the Fiesta, they all had those problems. The transmission control module is part of the transmission, and
you couldn't get those for the longest time. Cars,
I still don't know if they have them because, I mean, we were talking to people, and, I mean, Ford was just buying them out of the car and getting them into something else. I mean, they knew that these things were bad before they even sold them.
Yeah, they were bad before they hit the lot, before they came off the truck. The Fusion, for the most part, though, is a pretty good car. I love the car, I like that car overall, and and they just stopped making it, and it was a great car, and too bad they stopped making it. I think they would sell a lot more, but more to your point is I guess exactly kind of what we mentioned. You know, the best thing that you can do is so you're in that position where you want to get it rebuilt.
Yes, I mean it. Yeah, it's got to the point now where if I pull up to a stop sign, it will sit there and surge and buck and kick and just pulls the engine into the ground. It won't.
So it's not downshifting?
Yeah, it's not
down. It won't downshift. Yeah. And if I'm going down the interstate, all of a sudden it'll start screaming. The turbo will kick in and it doesn't advance in speed. And it got to the point where it snapped the CV joint when it downshifted while I was doing 60 mile an hour.
So this thing's really shot.
Yeah, this thing's really shot. Well, you know, I think I would you know, what I'd probably do is, and I'm sure there's been some updates to try to solve this problem and things that have gone into it. It's inherently, you're not going to fix all the problems, but I think they have updated it to make it much, much better. But you're in a situation now that this thing has gone bad so bad internally that there's just no recovering from it. I think
and
I would.
It may not be rebuildable. If what you're describing to me, I mean, this thing's got fluid pressure going everywhere.
Yeah, so you might.
And something's stuck because it's not downshifting. So yeah. One of the drums is probably seized.
Mm-hmm. So you want to go get yourself a rebuilt with maybe the best warranty. If you're gonna keep this car and say I'm gonna put some money into this car and it's already paid off for, if I spend X amount over here and the car's worth that, maybe it's worth doing. Then I would probably go get another rebuilt transmission with the best warranty I can find. You know, 3 year, 5 year, 100,000 mile warranty. That way you're covered down the line with it.
The problem with warranty, it's only as good as the company, though. Every remanufacturer I found, and you look at the reviews, it's like they don't stand behind their warranty.
Are you going to do that yourself, or?
Yes, because I've already did the engine, because the engine had the coolant issue and didn't know about it, and it cracked the head, and ended up getting an engine from England, the good one. So I've got that in it, a brand new turbocharger in it, and
you're invested in this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
there's a local rebuilder here in town that I think does really good work with them. Most transmissions, the bigger guys in town. I think I would call them and talk to them a little in depth about it, and get a little bit. More in depth on that and see where they can lead you.
Okay.
And you can buy transmissions from them just, you know, over the counter and put it in yourself.
Okay. Great. Okay.
They're going to want to have you bring it back so that they can double check your work,
right,
so to speak, which is
pressure
great.
Test and all that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But they offer, you know, a good warranty. They offer local service. They offer, you know, a lot of that things, and they're pretty innovative into the fact that they can research that problem and try to fix a lot of that problem. But there are some that they'll say, I don't want to be involved either.
Yep.
they've been down that road and they're tired of going down that road. And so they just say, I'm not going to do it. I don't know that that's one of them, but I think a phone call to them would be a little bit of conversation would certainly help your decision.
That's what I'm looking for. Any assistance to direction is what, you know, if I can get a face to the name of the company instead of just dealing with an aftermarket online where you don't know where what you're getting or where it's coming from or how to get a recourse if you have issues.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, and we're dealing with that, and we've been dealing with that with some of the coming out of the pandemic with some rebuilt motor manufacturers. And you cannot put a face to the name, and
don't know where some of these things are coming from. I mean, did the high school class rebuild it, or do you got a guy 50
you know,
years down the road that knows his stuff?
We've put engines in from certain people that have always been great, and now it's not their fault. They're just getting they don't know what they're getting, and neither do we. And we've had to redo them, and it's a lot of time and effort and cost to redo it on our end.
And
so,
protecting your name, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we're always going to do what we got to do to make it right. So but it's just costly on our end. So it's not just the transmission side, it's the engine side too. So, and you know, we've been looking into that also. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. I'd love to hear from that company that you're telling me about.
Yeah, hang on the line. We'll put you on hold. We'll get your number, and then we'll get you a call back here off the air and let you know for sure.
Hey, appreciate your help, guys. Love
you
your
bet.
Show.
You bet, Paul. Thanks for listening. All right, we're going to head a break or do another call. All right, we're going to go break. All right, we're going to head on a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Call to schedule your appointment today at 402-393-2722.
I'm Denise, and I've called before. My son has this 1985 Toyota. He went out and got rebuilt the Toyota carburetor from the kit. He said the gas pump is good, but He's not, it's turning over. He's not getting a spark. He said he pressure tested he's not getting a spark.
Okay.
And he's wondering if it's the idle mixture adjusting screw because he thinks he tightened it too tight.
Okay, so. So the car just won't start, right? He's got spark. He just rebuilt his carburetor
over,
and it won't run.
Well, did you rebuild the carburetor?
Well, over,
or did you just get a brand new one?
Yeah. No, he rebuilt it himself.
Okay. But the key word she said. Go ahead.
Yeah. It goes, you know how it starts? It goes, turns over, but it won't spark.
Mm-hmm.
It won't
run.
Or the gas
okay.
So it won't stop. So let's go through some scenarios and you just give us yes or no answers. So when you say it won't start or it doesn't have spark.
Okay. Does it have, I'm going to translate him, have a spark, S-P-A-R-K, does it have? He said yes, there's a spark.
Okay.
Gas.
So we're working on the fuel system.
We're working on, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know that particular carburetor that well, but I do know carburetors.
Yeah.
So your idle mixture screw, you said he turned that in tight. You don't ever want to do that. That's got to be loose.
No,
it's got to be adjustable.
It's got to be loose.
After any rebuild on a carburetor, my base is all screwed all the way tight, and I'm backing it out 3 or 4 turns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going to start. But
3 or 4 turns back. Okay, that's what he, okay.
So other than that, occasionally you might have to hit it with some carburetor cleaner or some brake clean down the choke and get it to fire.
Right. Can we see if we, with the engine off, can we hit the accelerator? Can we actually see gasoline shooting into the?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it. When he hit the accelerator, the gas came out. Yep.
So we're getting there, and we're not getting any kind of fire, run, blah, 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 and then dies, or we're just not getting nothing?
Yeah, it doesn't. He sealed that little tube that for some reason it wasn't sealed, and the gas came out. So you fixed the gas that was coming out, right? But it's still not
And it's never even tried to start.
He said it tried a little, almost turned over, right?
Okay,
almost
so
started.
If you pull a spark plug, is it soaked with gas? Are we getting too much gas in here? Are we running over the float and running out the bowl vent?
Okay, let me ask. If you take off SPARK plug, is it wet with gas? Yes. It's like.
Yeah. I think we flooded it.
Yeah.
I think we flooded it out. Kyle's right. We flooded this out trying to get it going. So pull those spark plugs and dry them all out. Crank the engine over. Get all that raw fuel out of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other ways to get all that raw fuel out of there, but I'm not going to tell you how to do that. That's just kind of
that
more.
That could be a huge hazard.
Yeah. it's what we would do,
but
we know what we're doing. And it's kind of
fun
to watch.
So, kind of like get all the. It's flooded, so the spark plugs need to be dried out or something.
Yeah.
If you've got a compressed air, like an air compressor, you can use a blowgun and just hold it in that cylinder in that spark plug hole for a few minutes.
Oh.
It'll dry it out.
Yeah.
He has a compressor,
Dry it out. I think
just use your blowgun that you use to blow off dust or whatever. Stick it down in that cylinder.
Yes.
And just let it dry out.
Some carburetors are easy to overhaul and just simple can do.
Yeah.
We can do it with our eyes closed. And some are difficult.
Yes.
And that is one that's difficult. It's not the easiest carburetor to overhaul. So you might even have to find one that's already running, going, and good to go, but you haven't opened it up and messed with things on the inside because
I don't even know what carburetor is on that one.
It's
like a Venturi variable.
Yeah,
Venturi.
Yeah, it is. It's
a Toyota.
It's a normal looking carburetor. It's just they're just more complex than the domestic carburetors ever were. You just pop a top on the domestics and boot. Well, you're
together. And this, I mean that old. I mean you might even be able to. There's probably, I mean, Toyota is such a huge group of guys that love these old Toyotas. You might even be able to find an inexpensive Weber carburetor that'll, you know, you can probably find an adapter plate and put on there, but they're a reliable carburetor.
Simple.
It's very universal. And you can buy them on Amazon for less than $100.
And the other thing that plays into this, even though you have spark, you may not have the timing in the correct area, and timing will be a huge factor in getting this running or flooding it out.
Mm-hmm. Now, how could he check the timing? Would he have to? Can he bring?
You get a light.
You get a light. You roll number one up to top dead center. You point the piston, the rotor towards
number one.
Yeah,
and then you're just going to be a mark on your balancer that probably has a key with, you know, like a small gauge on it that'll tell you 10 degrees, 20 degrees, whatever you want it to set to zero.
We make it sound easy because we've done it many a times, but there is a set specific
there's a pattern
things.
To it.
Well, you might be able to look that up on YouTube.
You probably could.
Absolutely.
You can.
There's going to be a bunch of videos for it.
Yeah, there's a set specific thing that you've got to do in order to make it run, and that could be your whole problem. It could have everything it needs. It's not in time, therefore it won't fire off. So,
and if your old carburetor was failing, somebody could have adjusted this thing way advanced to make up for, you know, whatever rich or lean condition they had. So we got to go back to their basics.
Yeah. If we could help.
But you're saying old carburetor, he redid the carburetor.
I know. But it's not that easy sometimes. It's not.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Hang on the phone, and we'll talk to you just a little bit off the air. All right, Kyle, that's for another week, another fast hour. It didn't take long at all, did it?
Yeah, we're done.
Yep. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in next week. I'm Bob.
Kyle.
See you next week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.